Can you make a difference? Can you make a difference? Let me begin by saying good morning and welcome and Happy New Year. If you're visiting with us, we certainly appreciate your attendance, and we hope that you will find our service today to be one that you can honor and glorify your Father in heaven, and be one that you will see something in the scriptural that will be encouraging to you. And we also wish you safe travels to your destination. As was mentioned a few moments ago, I'm sure there are those of you who are thinking about New Year's resolutions. There might be some of you who are really, really good and have gone to the extent to already write them down. And congratulations, depending on what time you got up this morning, you're 3 to 4 hours and you're on track. You only have 364 days left in the year. There may be some of you that are still thinking about your resolutions. And there could be some of you that have said, I'm not going to make a resolution. You know, whatever camp you fall in this morning, I wish you the best in 2012. And if you have made a resolution that it's one that connects to your spiritual relationship with God, I pray that He will give you strength, faith, and courage, and that you will be able to be committed to that resolution and improve whatever it is that you feel needs attention in your life. Can you make a difference? We're going to talk about that question this morning, and it will be the focal point of our study. I'll let you think about it for a few moments. We'll come back and address it. But we're going to look at it from the standpoint of, can you make a difference in your daily walk for Christ? And after we answer that question, we will go back and we'll look at some things that possibly keep us from making a difference in our relationship with Christ in our daily walk. And then finally, we'll end and we'll talk about some ways that we can make a difference in our walk with Christ on a daily basis. So can you make a difference? You know, if you think about it this morning, you are one person in this audience, one person that's a part of this congregation that's probably around 200 people. You are one person in the United States of America, and I believe the population is close to 308 million people. You are one person in a world that I think the population is pushing close to getting to 7 billion people. You're one person in a meeting room at your work. You're one person in a junior high class. You're one person in a college classroom. You're one person shopping in the grocery store amongst people that you might know and some that you may not. You're one person in a big, big world. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about life and all the things that I'm bombarded with, and I think about my relationship with Christ, the things that I believe I understand clearly, the questions that I have, and then I think about my Christian walk, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And so this morning, do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel that, you know, I'm just one person? I'm not really sure I can make a difference. Or maybe you are answering that question, yes, I believe I can make a difference, but I'm really not consistent. Or maybe you've answered, yes, I believe I can make a difference, but you know, I'm just not sure how to get started. And it seems like when I try to start, things don't go the way I plan. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've passed through these doors or doors like these, wherever you might worship, and you're beginning to wonder, can I really make a difference for Christ in my daily walk? Well, I believe the first thing we have to do before we move on and talk about some of the other questions that we posed this morning is we need to answer that question. It's, can you and I make a difference for Christ in our daily walk? And I think we have to believe that answer and we have to be confident in it. Because if there's any doubt, it will impact your ability to impact others for Christ. So let's look at this question and answer it by first turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Creation, that's where it all started. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it said, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.'" So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. The answer to whether or not you can make a difference for Christ in your daily walk is pretty obvious. And you know it, but the question is this morning, do you believe it? The answer is yes. And if you doubt whether you can or not, I want you to think about what we just read in the book of Genesis. It tells us that God created man in His own image, both male and female. If you are sitting here this morning, your faith is wavering, you wonder whether or not you can make a difference for Christ, I want to tell you that this verse tells you that you can, and it tells you that you are special. You are created in God's own image. And for us to doubt whether or not we can make a difference for Christ is to look at this verse and say that God didn't put a lot of thought into how He created male and female. He did. We are created in His image. You're special. You're a servant in the kingdom. You're someone sitting here this morning that Christ died for. He gave His life for you. And yes, you can make a difference for Him in your daily walk. If you need something else to provide you with encouragement, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Something that I'm sure is familiar to you. Verse 1, it reads, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." A letter from Jeremiah to those that were in exile. The next verse, one that could be in a frame on your wall in your living room, or that you have tacked up on your cubicle at work, or one that you've seen before. Definitely a verse that you know. Verse 11 says, "For I know I have plans. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." If the Lord had plans for those that were in exile, if He had future and a hope for them, He has a plan for you and I. And if we trust in Him and we have faith, we can make a difference for Christ in our daily walk, each and every day. He has a plan for us. We may not know what that plan is and everything about it, but rest assured, He has a plan for you and I. Finally, in the book of Matthew, in the last chapter, chapter 28, around verse 18, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and He begins in 18 and says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Jesus was talking to the disciples. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a Christian? Are you a disciple of Christ? A disciple of Christ is one who is a student of the Word and the teaching, a follower of Christ. If Jesus were telling these disciples to go and teach, and He told them that He would be with them until the end, I want you to remember that He had His Son die for you and I, that He will be with us. And yes, we can make a difference for Him in our walk, just like the disciples did here. I hope that answers the question for you. And I hope you've been encouraged to know that you're special, you're created in God's own image, that there's a plan for you, and that you can make a difference for Christ. So let's move on now and talk about what keeps us from making a difference. If I had a flip chart this morning and I were to take your responses, I'm sure that we would come up with a list that's really lengthy and long. One that we would find that there are answers that we all have in common. There would be some things on there that would be different because we're all different. Some things that cause me to struggle that are different from you and vice versa. There are two things I want to talk about this morning that I believe we probably have in common, and if not, you've probably had an experience with it. And the first one is fear. Does fear keep you from making a difference for Christ in your daily walk? Fear of failure. There might be those of you right now that are thinking about 2012. What can you do to make a difference for Christ? And you might have some things that you want to do, but the fear of failure could be paralyzing you and keeping you from moving forward. The fear of the unknown. What if you have an idea that you know would be successful, not because of you, but because of Christ? The power in the Word, God's grace and mercy. And it just might be successful. And what's keeping you from moving forward is the fear of unknown. How successful might it be? You might have to commit more time to God than you really want to. It could go really well. The fear of the unknown. Oh my goodness, what if I do something and it works and I'm making a difference and I got to get involved, I got to spend more time? It's the fear of the unknown paralyzing you and keeping you from making a difference for Christ. What about the fear of your reputation? What people think about you? I think it's safe to say all of us care what people think about us. I think the older you get, you probably care a little less. But the bottom line is we all care. What if I take a stand? What if someone really knows I'm a Christian? How could that impact my reputation? What people think about me? My friends in college, at school, my coworkers, in a meeting. If I were to say what should be said and what's right, go against some things that are probably not the right thing to do, how is that going to impact what people think about me, my reputation, and my life here on earth? Is the fear of what people think about you paralyzing you and keeping you from making a difference for Christ? I look out this morning and our lights are shining bright. The question is, when you leave here, is your light going to still shine bright or is it going to be hidden under the bushel? The song that our young children sing that probably needs to be sung by myself and maybe others because it has such meaning. Is your light shining bright when you leave here, or as soon as you walk out the door, does it go under the bushel? You know, when I think about fear, I think about a story in the Bible that you know well. Our young children know well. The story of David and Goliath. David, a young boy, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, what did he do? He faced the giant. He took on the giant that I believe, if I remember correctly, and if I'm not, you can correct me, was a little over 9 feet tall. I believe his armor, parts of it weighed 125 pounds. The head of his spear, 15 pounds, and you've got David, the young boy, that says, yes, I will take him on. The men of Israel, when they saw the giant, they were fearful. Saul told David, you're just a young boy. You can't take on this warrior. He's been a warrior since he was a youth, a young man. But David did. And you know the ending of the story. He took the giant down. But you know why David did? It's what Cole read to us in 1 Samuel 17, verse 46 and 47. Verse 47 says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. You know why David defeated that giant? It's because he knew the battle was the Lord's. It wasn't his. He had faith, he had courage in God. Let me be clear this morning. If you and I make a difference for Christ in our daily walk, it's not because of me and you and who we are or anything that we're going to do. It's because the battle is the Lord's and he will empower us with the knowledge, the wisdom, the courage to make a difference for him. And David did. Did David let the fear of failing or the fear of the unknown of what could happen to him if he faced the giant and it didn't go well, paralyze him and keep him from making a difference? Did he let the fear of his reputation and what people were going to think because he was a young boy trying to face a Philistine giant keep him from doing what he should have done? No. He put his faith in the Lord, and he made a difference. Second thing I'd like us to talk about this morning that I think can keep us from making a difference is really two additional questions. And I stumbled upon these, and I'm really not sure who shared them with me or where I read them, so whoever deserves credit, I hope they get all the credit that they deserve. But these two questions have stuck with me. And listen carefully so you can tell the difference. The first question is, what makes your Christianity different? What makes your Christianity different versus what difference has your Christianity made? What makes your Christianity different versus what difference has your Christianity made? I want you to think about your life. And the first question is on my left. The second question is on my right. If you had to position yourself under one of those questions, what makes your Christianity different? Or what difference has your Christianity made in the world? Which side would you be standing on? And I'm not here to say this morning that there is a right or wrong side. I simply want you to think about your personal relationship with Christ. Have you lived a life that your whole point is to tell someone what makes your Christianity different? This is what makes my Christianity different. Or have you taken the things that you've internalized and you've learned, the grace, the mercy, the love of Jesus, and you've taken that knowledge and you implemented it in your daily life and you started making a difference in the world because of the things you've learned about Christ? Can we get hung up on one side or the other? I certainly can. Again, I'm not here to tell you which side of that question is right or wrong. It's simply to get you to think. You know, I thought David Faltz made a great point in his invitation last Sunday night. And David, if I misquote you here, please feel free to correct me. But David gave the invitation last Sunday night, and he said, you know, during the holidays, people think about the birth of Jesus Christ. A lot of people are thinking about that, and there are a lot of people thinking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And if I understood him correctly, he said something to the effect of, should we try to make a point, or should we sometimes agree to disagree and look for the greater opportunity in teaching? As I think about these two questions, I think about that. Let me just be clear, I'm not telling you that we should ignore what's in the Bible. What's here is here, and we should look at it and we should use it. But I wonder sometimes, is my mission in life been to make a point instead of to make a difference? Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. When I think about these questions, helps me. Verse 1 says, judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured you. Why do you seek the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, where there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I read that and it hurts. It hurts. Because sometimes I've been too judgmental in my life. And I wonder if I should focus on making a difference rather than judging and trying to make a point. I also think about the book of John, chapter 8. I think about the scribes and the Pharisees that brought an adulterous woman to Jesus. And they were truly trying to test him. And they bring this adulterous woman and they reference the law of Moses and stoning. And you know what Jesus said, don't you? He said, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And I believe there was some additional dialogue that took place between him and the adulterous woman. And then the question was asked, where are they? Did they cast any stones? And she said, no, they're gone. And then Jesus looked at her and he said, go and sin no more. A great example of how Jesus dealt with the adulterous woman, sin. Did he tell her that it was okay? He said, no. He said, go and sin no more. It was clear there was a sin. But look how he handled that situation. He made a point, but it was how he made the point. It was how he handled the situation. Do you think he made a difference in her life? I think he did. Do you think he gave the scribes and the Pharisees something to think about? I think he did. And so, what makes your Christianity different? Or what difference has your Christianity made in the world? Finally, this morning, let's talk about how we can make a difference. The book of Romans, chapter 12, really says it all. I can't say it any better. So I'd like to read verses 1 through 21, if you would be patient and bear with me. Romans 12, 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving the one who teaches. In his teaching, the one who exhorts. In his exhortation, the one who contributes. In generosity, the one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let the love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. Romans 12, 1 through 21 tells us how we should live. It tells us how we can make a difference. Too much for me to comment on this morning, so I'll just share a couple of thoughts with you and then leave the lesson and let it be yours. I think in verse 3, it calls out a key point. It says, do not think of himself more highly than you ought to. We have to be careful in our walk with God. In our mission to make a difference for Christ, we have to make sure that we don't think too highly of ourselves. We can't become arrogant. We have to remember that anything that happens is because of the power of God, the grace and the mercy that he bestows upon us, the truth that we find in the Word. It's because he allows us as servants in his kingdom to do good things on his behalf. It has nothing to do with us. And we have to caution ourselves and not to think too highly of who we are and what we represent. God represents us. He allows the good things to happen. Verse 4 and 5, it references members do not all have the same function, and we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. There are a lot of people with talent in this congregation, and you've heard numerous lessons. You've had tons of Bible studies that talk about talents and using your talents. And there are a lot of people in this congregation that are doing great things, people that are individuals and groups. But I would challenge you this morning to think about as you move forward. Look at your individual life, your walk with Christ. Are you going to make a difference for Christ in 2012? You know, sometimes I think that we feel making a difference for Christ means that we've got to do something on a grand scale, something big. You know, it's really the small things that add up and can make a difference. It's sending someone a card. By the way, that's a Hallmark card. It's giving somebody a phone call. Or it's getting an email like I did yesterday. I had the blue from someone in this congregation, had no idea it was coming, but it was a word of encouragement. It's taking somebody a meal. It's in the grocery store and you see the person that's checking out in front of you, they drop their wallet or their debit card or their credit card, and instead of waiting for them to pick it up, you pick it up for them. It's at work, you know, somebody that has an illness, somebody that's struggling. You don't let them suffer alone. You have compassion. You let them know that you're there to support them. You let your light shine for Christ. Let them know that you care about them and let them know that Jesus does. Suffer with them. I could go on and on. You know the little things that can make a difference. And then I would encourage all of you who have things in your mind that you've been thinking about that you probably could get going outside of the church and use people here to make a difference. Not to be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by the fear of failure. Just go for it. It doesn't matter if you fail. If God wants you to succeed, He'll allow it. Don't let your ideas be wasted. Verse 10, loving one another and showing honor. Could you imagine if we loved each other and showed honor to each other as much as we talk about and try to honor God? Could you imagine what would happen? It would be an incredible world to live in, wouldn't it? I know I'm guilty. I got a lot of work to do. I mean, this whole lesson is killing me. But if we honor each other, those within this building, those outside of this building, we're going to make a difference for Christ because people will see the love inside of you that He had the day that He hung on the cross. Verse 12, it talks about rejoicing in hope and being patient in tribulation. And then it talks about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. John Lewis gave a great invitation on Wednesday night if you weren't here on rejoicing for Christ. I wish I could just hit the play button and let you hear it again. It was amazing. He's right. We have so much to rejoice over. But sometimes we're so quiet. Sometimes you got to tell people that you're a Christian before they know. They don't know that we're Christians because we don't show our joy. And I don't know what the answer is for you as to how you show that joy to the world and express it. I don't have the answer for you. But I think we all need to think about what He said and what it says here, and we need to rejoice with one another. We need to rejoice with people outside of this congregation. We need to weep with one another. Being a Christian is not without emotion. But I feel sometimes that we take the emotion out of it. Being a Christian is all about emotion. It's about being excited for the fact that we partook of the sacrifice, that we know we're going to heaven. It's being excited about, in Romans 12, it talks about prayer, that when there's something on your mind that you can go to God in prayer. It's knowing that you can weep and cry and that He's listening. As a congregation, we have to rejoice with one another. We have to weep with one another. We have to maintain unity. We have to think about making a difference for Christ as individuals and then bring that individual zeal here. And we have to feed off of one another. And if we do that, big things will happen for God. And the last thing is, vengeance is God. It says in verse 19, and when I see this, I go back to Matthew chapter 7 and I remind myself again, it's not my job to judge. It's not my job to take vengeance. It's my job to serve. It's my job to listen to the tough questions asked in a Bible class and to look at it from the standpoint of, you know what? I'm going to push myself to learn more. I'm going to try to keep myself from becoming stagnant. I'm going to do everything I can to embrace the sacrifice that was given for me and to try to make a difference for Christ. That's what my job is. It's not to say, you're guilty, you're innocent. That's not my job. My job's to teach. Your job's to teach. It's not to ignore the Scripture. That's not what I'm saying. I passed somebody this morning and I said, I won't ever have all the answers. And they reminded me that the answers were in the Bible. And I said, you're right. But you know what? I'm just going to confess to you. I don't know if I'm going to understand it all. If I had all the answers, if you had all the answers, guess what? We wouldn't have needed Jesus to die on the cross for us. So we just have to continually push and strive to learn. Get outside of your comfort zone. And if you do that, you will make a difference for Christ. And so I want you to remember this morning that you are special. That man was created in God's image. I want you to think about David and what he did to fear. He crushed it. He walked out onto the battlefield with Goliath and he allowed God to win the victory for him. I want you to think about those questions. What makes your Christianity different versus what difference has your Christianity made in the world? I want you to think about an NFL quarterback. If they studied the playbook day in and day out, and they knew it, and they could recite every play, and they could write it on a chalkboard, but they never got on the field and took the first snap and took what they learned and let it help them win the game, how good would that quarterback be? He wouldn't be very good, would he? This is our playbook, so to speak. It tells us how we need to live. It's up to you and I whether we just read it and think about it or whether we get on the field and take a snap and try to implement it and make a difference for Christ. And finally, just read Romans 12. If you don't have a New Year's resolution, read Romans 12 once a day. It'll tell you if you're doing the right things to make a difference. And so this morning I will leave you with one final question. A question that I can't answer for you. A question that you can't answer for me. But it's a really simple question. Depending on how you answer this question, it'll tell you how 2012 is going to go. And the question is, are you going to make a difference? See, it's your choice. It's my choice. We've got everything we need here. But you have to answer the question, are you going to make a difference? If you're here this morning and there's something that's weighing heavily on your heart, in a few moments we'll stand and sing and two of our elders will come up. And I want you to know that Jesus is here today and he's waiting for you to come forward if you need the prayers of the elders. He wants to hear from you because he loves you. He wants to help you start the new year off right. It doesn't matter what it is. Don't let the fear of walking down in front of the audience paralyze you, make you stay in your seat. It's the best thing that we could see happen, is to see someone come forward and exercise their faith in God and to say, I need you. Help me, God. And if you're here this morning and you've been studying the gospel and you know what you need to do to become a Christian, today's the first day of the new year. There's not a better day. Not because it's the new year, just because you have an opportunity. Because God's arms are open and he wants to have you in his family. And so, are you going to make a difference? If there's someone here this morning that's subject to the invitation of the Lord, why don't you come while we stand and sing?
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted day.